you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you,
we're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here,
we're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Reading from 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, January 8th, 2024, marching along 8 days into this new year. Wow. You know, pretty soon it's going to be springtime. Then we're going to be into the summer and then back to Christmas time again. So we're marching right along into 2024. And that was the voice of T. Heberlein. You might have remembered him from an interview during Mark and Friends, I guess, about what, three or four months ago, we talked about Golden Bridges, kind of like a ministry that helps and assists with seniors, whether it's downsizing or relocation. You do so many different things. You're primarily out of the Quincy area, but I think you're moving in towards the Springfield area, maybe setting up an office in the coming days here.
Yeah, that's the goal, is that we'll eventually have the franchise over here in Springfield, because we are working out of here quite a bit. So,
and a quick shout out, give me a website of Golden Bridges.
Golden Bridges. foryou.com.
And the four, is it F-O-R or the number four?
The number four.
Number four, Golden Bridges, for YOU.com. Great ministry, great work helping seniors in a variety of ways. And I know you come across extra furniture and you're helping with the international students and other ministries. So it's been neat to get to know you on our once a month Christian business luncheon with Doug Reihard and others, where we've gotten to know each other. But some months back, you were bragging up your wife. You were saying, oh, Mark, my wife, Connie, she's created a couple different books on the Holy Spirit and on godly living. And I think you were just bragging her up. And I really like that. And I said, maybe we could do an interview sometime. And so that's what we're going to do today. I have two books in front of me, one titled The Holy Spirit, Discover His Person, Presence, and Power by Connie Heberlein. And this isn't even out yet, but it's soon to be out, maybe this week or in the next few weeks. It's called Creating a Life of Godliness, and it's a study of 2 Peter chapter 1, just verses 1 through 11. There was so much material in that that's where she created this book, Creating a Life of Godliness. I don't know if we'll get to touch on this today, but Connie, welcome to today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's going to be a combination of talking about your book, The Holy Spirit, Discover His Person, Presence, and Power, but also maybe a little of your faith journey, because I think it's always important for the listener to connect with an author or a musician or a person on the program. So before you share a little of your faith journey, I'm going to give you a moment here, T, to do a shout out or two for your wife, because you bragged her up some months ago and you've talked highly about her and the achievement she's made with writing these books, but you love her for a variety of reasons. Cite a few.
How much time do we have? Yes. We have months worth of time, because the list is too long. So I'll narrow it down real quick. I am so just overwhelmed by her faithfulness and studying every morning, like up so early every morning. She gets up at 4 o'clock or earlier some mornings, just so she can have that quiet time with God. And I know that's where she recharges from and gets ready for the day, and especially is ready to even see me in the morning after getting recharged. But she just takes that time every day just to get ready and to be in God's word, and so that she can carry it throughout the day. And to me, that is amazing. That's not something that I'm wired to do, but that is where she comes from. And sometimes I draw from the strength that she has, that she's just in the Word all the time. And I take encouragement from that.
Yeah, you were saying during some of the times that I've met up with you that she's like the rock that you can not only draw strength from, but models to you what a godly wife is like, what a godly woman is all about. And you have said it's really challenged you or refined you to grow in godly character.
For sure, yes. Just to see that example and her constantly being steady in that.
Now, Connie, talk a little bit about your faith journey.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me here. This is a new experience for me in a new setting. But my faith journey is pretty wide, a varied story. So I grew up in a very devout Catholic home. Mm-hmm. We did all the church services and all the holy days and prayed the rosary. And in my teenage years, I kind of did all the wild things mm-hmm. that young teenagers do. And then I ended up at a Southern Baptist college. Mm. And one of the things that happened on a regular basis on campus is people would just randomly come up to me and say, "Are you saved?" Mm. And I would just kind of look at them and give them a strange look. And then after a while, I finally said, "Well, what do you mean by saved?" And they said, "Well, are you going to go to heaven?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, of course I am. I'm Catholic." Mm-hmm. And I didn't think much about that. And then just kind of started looking at other religions too as time went on and kind of moved away from going to church altogether and kind of ended up in a spot where I was completely depressed. Mm. And of course, that was a time period when people weren't talking about depression. I was always behaving as if everything in my life was right. And I started praying and asking God, you know, like, what was I supposed to do? And I ended up meeting some Jehovah's Witness. Mm. A lady came to my door one time, and she was able to answer a lot of my questions that I had about God by showing me different texts in the Bible. And she was so nice, and she was so sweet. Mm. And I agreed to do a Bible study with her and joined Jehovah's Witnesses. Mm-hmm. After a period of studying with them, I fell in love with Scripture, realized that I was headed down the wrong path and that I needed God in my life. My parents were very upset about this. In hindsight, after I left Jehovah's Witnesses years later, my mom said, "I hate it that you were part of that group, that organization. However," she goes, "I do believe that they saved your life." Mm. And so for 7 years, I worshiped with Jehovah's Witnesses and went so far as being what they call a pioneer of 1,000 hours of service a year, going door to door, preaching the message that they had. And then God slowly started removing people out of my life that were very influential. A couple of families that I dearly loved and spent all of my time with moved to different areas. And I started questioning, you know, well, should I move too? I had the freedom to do that. And I went to visit both families, and all at once, out of the blue, I felt like God was saying, "You need to go on a mission trip." Well, I had never, ever in my life wanted to go on a mission trip or out of the country.
But you were going door to door for these 1,000 hours or many
hours? 1,000 hours a year. Yeah.
So you were willing to meet strangers or go up to doors, but it was a foreign concept to maybe serve overseas or out of the country?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Like, it just had never crossed my mind to do something like that. But I met a gal that was a Jehovah's Witness, and she served over in Ecuador. And she would come back to the States occasionally just to raise money so she could go back to Ecuador. And it worked out that I could take a month off of work and travel to Ecuador with her and another group of friends. And while I was there, I did not speak the language very well. Mm-hmm. And I would often find myself sitting on a bus next to, in fact, one instance, I was sitting next to a lady holding a chicken. Mm-hmm. And she spoke Spanish and I spoke English. And so I just had a lot of alone time during that month when we were traveling, separated from my friends. And I started asking Jehovah, I started saying, you know what, am I a Jehovah's Witness because this is what you want me to do? Or am I a Jehovah's Witness because I just love my friends who are witnesses? And it was just interesting reflection on my life. And when I came back to the States, the desire to go door to door or to continue to attend 5 meetings a week was no longer there, which was really odd to me. And if you know anything about Jehovah's Witnesses, if you decide not to do those things anymore, then you are, there's a word for it. I can't think of that word.
Apostate?
Well, no, I just can't think of the word right now, but I'm basically shunned. Mm-hmm. And so I was told that I was part of the Antichrist and that unless I repented and turned around, I was no longer welcome at the Kingdom Hall with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was really angry. I was angry with God. I was angry with myself. I was angry with religion as a whole. And I remember just standing in my house and just telling God, like, I was done. I was no longer having anything to do with him. I didn't think Catholicism was correct. I didn't think being a Baptist was correct. I didn't think being a Hindu, a Muslim, all of those other religions that I had looked at, none of them were correct. So I didn't know what was going on. And God was at fault for that, if he even existed. And I went to bed that night. And the house that I lived in was a small house, and it was on the corner of an alley and a street. And the street light would shine into my house. So my house was pretty much lit every single night. But that night, after I went to bed, there was this palpable darkness that covered me. And I felt like God was saying to my spirit, if you want nothing to do with me, this is what your life will be like. And it scared me. And I relented and I repented and I told God I was sorry, and my house was light again. And the next day I got up and I was just bound and determined that it was just going to be me and God. And I was just going to look at his word. I wanted nothing else to do with anybody else's books. I didn't want anybody else speaking into my life about God. It was just me and God and the Bible. And then a little while after that, I ended up meeting T. And we became really good friends. And we talked a lot about scripture. And he knew where I stood. He knew that I did not want anything to do with church. And yet every Sunday, he invited me to go to church. And every Sunday, I said no. Until I finally got tired of him asking. And I said to him, I'll go, but I'm bringing my Bible. And he said, good. So I went to church with him. It was a non-denominational church, and everybody was friendly and welcoming. And every scripture that minister brought up, I searched in my Bible, and I could see nothing wrong that he said. And at one point in his sermon, he said the name Jehovah. And Jehovah's Witnesses teach that nobody else uses the name Jehovah. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Here's this minister at this small non-denominational Christian church that's using Jehovah's name. What else have I been misled to believe? And so I decided to go back to church again and again. And one Sunday we started singing a song that included the Trinity. And I could not bring myself to sing that song. And I had a conversation with the Lord. And I said, you know what? I know that God the Father exists. And I know that Jesus is his son. I'm not so sure about the Holy Spirit. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that the Holy Spirit is like an energy, active force of God, but not a person. And I wrestled with that for a while. I even went to talk with the minister for a while. And I just, there were no satisfying answers to me. And I finally just said, you know what? I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust that when it comes time for me to understand the Trinity, you will help me do that. And so I just kind of let it go. And in time, you know, we started serving at church together. I did some Bible studies with other women and just kept praying and asking God to show me wisdom and to show me truth and to never let me fall into a path that was not God honoring and was not truth. And then one day a friend of mine said to me, hey, you know, it seems like lately the Holy Spirit has been popping up in your conversation a lot lately. And she's like, would you be willing to research a little bit and come teach my discipleship group about the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, well, God, I guess it's time. And so I spent a couple weeks looking through scripture, and I pulled out my giant Strong's Concordance, and I was overwhelmed by the instances of the word spirit. And of course, some of that just means spirit as in mankind. that the spirit that we have, and some of it is the Holy Spirit. And
with the capital S.
With a capital S, yes. And I wrote down a few things, and I thought, there's no way. I cannot teach about that. I don't know enough. And she's like, sure you can. Come on over. So I presented what knowledge I had gathered with fear and trembling, always being afraid. I never, ever want to mislead anybody into believing something different than what God has as truth. And when I went home after that teaching, I felt like the Spirit was saying it's time. And so I looked up every single one of those scriptures, and I started putting together notes for myself, which then turned into some teaching, which then turned into a book that my friend said, hey, this is good work. Would you be willing to share it with other people?
And we're going to come back to the book, because I don't know if I can get permission to have you return for Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, because I think we could just talk about the book and how God had you write it and what your intentions are in writing it and what inspired you to write it so that you can help people have that godly life. So is it possible that you could be available again for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll talk about your book, The Holy Spirit, Discovering His Person, Presence, and Power, written by Connie Heberlein, and also a book that's not even out yet, but it'll be coming out in the next few weeks, called Creating a Life of Godliness, a study of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. But I want to get your take, T. So you're watching Connie grow in the Lord. She's coming to your church. You're attracted to her. You're becoming more and more fond of her. What's God saying to you? Like, is she potentially wife material? Is this something that you want to pursue? Like, what's going on in your mind?
It didn't matter to me at the time whether she came. I mean, I wanted her so much to come and we could worship together, but God just kept saying, just keep pursuing, just keep asking, because I felt like he had something planned for her and for us. And when he did finally bring it together that, hey, we were supposed to be married, it was like he flipped a switch. I was always telling her, I can't say the words I love you. And she knew I couldn't say it until one day I could. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I knew, just didn't love her. I loved her that whole time, but I was in love with her. And I think more so from what I've seen, her hard work, dedication, and just the godly woman she already was, but what she was turning into. You know, the more she was studying and just constantly is like, oh, I'm so in love with her.
Yeah.
And I'm just enamored by her studying and her persistence and her dedication. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And now married 25 years, yes, with two children and a son-in-law. Yep, so how's it being one of your daughters married off?
Oh, my goodness. My son-in-law, actually, a year ago Christmas Eve, was baptized. So that was another plus. My daughter's been baptized. My son is working on his journey right now. But man, I couldn't be more pleased with the family that God has given me and the wife that he's given me and just how she leads as a mother and just in the word constantly. It's just without that word, we wouldn't be where we're at. For sure.
Well, we're going to have you back for Testimony Tuesday, and we're going to talk about your two books, The Holy Spirit, Discover His Person, Presence, and Power by Connie Heberlein, and then also Creating a Life of Godliness. I don't even know if we'll have time to get to that one, but it's a study of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. That'll be available in the coming weeks. You'll be able to find both of them eventually on Amazon. I think the Holy Spirit one is on Amazon right now.
Yes.
Or stop by ConnieHeberlein.com, ConnieHeberlein.com, C-O-N-N-I-E, HEBERLEIN.com. And if you're driving to work and you couldn't write that down, just call the station and we can get you that information. 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. But we opened up the program with the prayer of David, and it was a special verse to you. And maybe in our closing couple minutes, why of all the scriptures you could pick, why did you, and you opened it up reading it, T, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13.
Well, when I started memorizing scripture, you know, I just do a scripture here and a scripture there. And that was my first attempt at memorizing more than one scripture. Mm. And I love that scripture so much because it reminds me how much God is in control regardless. And do I have time to tell a little story about that? Okay. So I am an educator And at the time, when I was working on memorizing that scripture, I was teaching in a public school. And it was a really rough school year for me. Just the kids were tough, and I had a full classroom. And I was headed one day to a meeting downstairs. And I was just walking out the door, and the phone rang, and I picked it up. And it was the secretary. And she said, "You're getting a new student tomorrow. I'm putting his folder in your mailbox." And I took a deep breath and I said, "Can't anybody else take the student?" Knowing that there were other teachers that had less students in their classroom, why was I getting the new student? And she told me that the principal had said, "Give the student to Mrs. Heberlein." And so I was less than gracious on the phone, sadly. And I hung up the phone and I was heading for my meeting, and I just burst into tears. And I felt the Spirit prompt me. And I started quoting that scripture, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted high above all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hand is strength and the power to exalt and give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God." And I was still crying as I'm walking down the hallway, and the Spirit said again, and I started quoting the scripture again. And by the third time of quoting the scripture, I felt peace. And I knew that no matter how many students she put in my mailbox, that I would be okay, because God was in control, and he was giving me the students that he knew I needed, and he was giving those students the teacher that they needed for the year. And so that's just been a favorite scripture of mine.
Wow. Well, we're going to continue this discussion for tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Listening friend, find out more about this book. It's titled The Holy Spirit, Discover His Person, Presence, and Power. Find out more at ConnieHeberlein.com. Connie Heberlein, HEBERLEIN.com. There's links and there's more information. I think you have some videos also there, so you can access the information or also purchase it online at Amazon. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Testimony Tuesday. Well, thank you, T, for introducing me to your wife, Connie. Thank you, Connie, for coming and sharing, and I look forward to continuing this conversation on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, T and Connie Heberlein with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.